This morning, I want to just talk about following Jesus a second time. If you have your Bible, just turn with me to John chapter 21. That would be the last chapter of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 21. And this is a passage about Peter, how he failed Jesus one time and managed to make a comeback. And as I was thinking about this whole passage, let's take it from John chapter 21. From verse 15, you will find the conversation between Peter and Jesus. And I think I did mention this in my last sermon, just a little bit of it. And I just felt I wanted to continue and complete the whole conversation that has to do with how Peter made a comeback to the ministry. But for you to understand what happened in that conversation from 15 onwards until the last verse, I have to backtrack, to go back to the first verse of chapter 21. So in the first verse of chapter 21, the Gospel of John, it says here, afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. Jesus rose from the dead, and he appeared to the disciples a number of times. But this is one time he appeared again. And as I was thinking about the song we sung this morning, it was so powerful. He is risen. He is alive. I just love coming here and enjoy the worship. And from time to time when I really need a good booster and I really need to just come and worship with that Pentecostal flavor, I walk into Life Solution Church and I'm alive again. Hallelujah. Following Jesus a second time. I love it here because it says, he appeared to them again, which means he didn't give up on his disciples. When you meet somebody again, that means you really want to meet them again, a second time. There are some people in life, you meet them once, I think you may not want to meet them again. But there are some people in life, you want to meet them again and again and again. And one of them is Pastor Kelvin Sim. Come, yeah, amen, amen, yeah. You want to meet them again. Because there's something about them that attracts you or that empowers you, that makes you feel good or that makes you come alive, but most of all, they give you hope. Hallelujah. They help you to move forward in life instead of dragging you backwards, you know, but they help you to move forward. And this is the kind of people I want to connect with. We call it the power of association, the power of connection. And so when you meet people like that, you want to meet with them again and again and again because they give you hope for the future. It wasn't too long ago when I was just watching this AFL Grand Finals. Wow, I am just amused with adults playing football like children on the field with 80,000 people or 100,000 people in the stadium. And there was this grand finals thing from the West, the Perth group, I think. It was West Coast. And they were just trailing from behind, you know, just trailing all the way from behind. And I was hoping that they will catch up and overtake the winning team. What was the winning team? Yeah, that's right. Collingwood. I was hoping they will catch up and overtake Collingwood because Eagles were losing in the first place. And I waited and I waited. Man, it was a long game. I waited and waited until the last few moments. Eagles won. Wow, I can just imagine just 20,000 supporters against the other majority of 80,000. They were standing up on their feet and I was saying, wow, how could they win this game at the last minute? And all the Collingwood footballers were down on the ground and some were crying and some just cannot believe that they lost the game. And all that was happening, it was so sad. And I was telling myself, wow, this is life. Because it's not how you start that matters. It's how you end that matters. Hallelujah. And how you end that matters. You may fail. You may not succeed from time to time. And life has its challenges. No, my dad was a prisoner of war, by the way. When Malcolm was just mentioning about the war, the First World War, my dad was a prisoner of war caught by the Japanese, worked in the steel mill, and he escaped. And then he was so angry with the whole thing, he joined the British and the Australian forces, actually in Malaysia. And he continued to fight, you know, against the those that were trying to make life so difficult for us during the Second World War. And you are right, he seldom talked about it because it was really such a horrifying experience. And all he was hoping throughout his whole life, he was hoping there will never ever be another war where his children will have to go through. It was a very painful thing. But thank God that I was kept alive, and my dad was kept alive, and we are here by the grace of God, and we now understand how precious life is, that Jesus came to give life and life abundantly. But the devil comes to steal and kill and to destroy, and he uses and influences agents to destroy mankind. And when it happens, you wonder why would people just drive through the streets and kill people? And it's happening right here in our backyard in Melbourne. And you wonder what's happening. Is it an emotional problem? Is it a terrorist problem? Is it a mental problem? What kind of problem is this? You know? And we all know as believers in Jesus Christ, the battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against forces of darkness, principalities that seek to influence mind, to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus came to give life and life abundantly. And so we are the life solution people. Hallelujah. We spread about the life that God has given us. We don't have to destroy. We don't have to destroy. We give life. We connect with people and we bring life to them, to the words we speak, to the action of our lives, our behavior, our attitude. Everything is life to people and to society. The church exists to build society for God and to build a great society. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. God is good. And there will be challenges in life. And when I think about it, so many people have made a comeback after they may have failed the first time. You know. I do play golf from time to time, not often. And just the other day, I hit a real good putt, you know. And wow, I hit a real good one. And all my golf buddies were like looking at me and how did he do it kind of thing. And I was smiling, you know. And then we took a break, and that was a real mistake because we took a five-minute break. And then when we went back on the back nine, the second nine, and they said, "Pa man, you know, you hit first." And so when I hit, I didn't know where the ball went, what happened. And one of the guys shouted, "Pastor, what happened? You cannot manage success, is it?" And I said, "It's so true. It's harder to manage success than to manage failure in life, you know, when you think about it." And that was a bad game that I had, and I came back, and I'm going to make it up again the next day. But that statement just reminded me that with one day you may succeed, another day you may fail. Because we are human. We are not God. And we have to face the reality that when we fail, it's not the end of the world. All right? We have a God who is with us, and he will walk through with us, and there are many lessons we can learn through failure. And I'll talk about that a little bit more afterwards. But when I think about it, Moses himself made a comeback after 40 years in the wilderness. He was a successful young prince of Egypt and then tried to kill an Egyptian and ran away into the wilderness all alone by himself. But he came back. God met with him. There was that connection with God. And he made a comeback, resting on the power of God instead of political power as the prince of Egypt to deliver the people of Israel. Jonah made a comeback. He disobeyed God the first time, and the second time, you know, the big fish just vomited him out on the beach again, and he came back a second time and obeyed God, and the whole city of Nineveh was saved. Hallelujah. You know, and when we look at life, there will be moments when we may just fall into a hole or something, but it's not the end of the world. Somebody say it's not the end of the world. Amen. Wonderful, okay? So today we'll try and look at what happened to Peter. In John chapter 21, Jesus now rose from the dead. He appears again, and the Bible says he appeared to them 40 days, 40 nights, right? And more than 500 people saw him alive. But there's this one particular incident here where he came back to the disciples. And they had all gone back fishing, because it says here, it happened this way, Simon, Peter, and so forth. Verse 3 says, I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. You see how influential a leader is? He has forgotten that his call was to follow Jesus. He left the nets in the first place in Luke chapter 5, when you read about that whole story, you know, and his call was to follow Jesus. But now, Jesus is alive, but he still wants to go back to fishing. And here he is, where Jesus comes by and he says, friends, have you caught any fish? Anybody loves fishing here? I'm told that when seniors do fishing in Australia, we don't have to buy a license. The rest of you have to get a license to do fishing. Yeah, that's what I'm told, yeah. But fishing is actually quite big business. If you've watched a documentary before, I've seen documentaries where these fishing boats go out and they catch big tunas and big salmons and so forth. It's big money, you know, bringing in the fishes. So it's like, Peter, friends, have you caught any fish? Or how's business today? How's your business today? Are you doing good? Are you earning some money? Are you getting rich? You know, what's your income like and so forth? And then the Bible said they have been fishing the whole night and they caught nothing. Nothing, nothing. These are experienced fishermen, by the way. All right? Then early in the morning, Jesus stood. He just waited early in the morning. Let them try on their own. Let them see how far they can go. Doing it with their own strength. Forgetting that what I've called them to do. You know, let them carry on. Early in the morning, let's have a good sleep first and then I'll meet them in the morning. All right? Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. And he said, throw your nets on the right side of the boat and you will find some. Who is this? Stranger. Or even if they know him, he's the carpenter. What does a carpenter know about fishing, you know? But don't forget, he's the Son of God. Don't forget, he's the Master. Don't forget, he's in control of the storm. Don't forget, he can calm the storm. Don't forget, he can walk on water. Don't forget, he can cause the blind to see. Don't forget, he can heal the leper. Don't forget, he's the miracle worker. Don't forget, he's alive today. Hallelujah. Don't forget, he can work the miracles for you. Hallelujah. He's the same God. Hallelujah. He's the same God. And so he comes to them And he reminds them, wow, I have the answer for your life. Throw the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. And I just wonder, did Jesus call the fish to the right side? Or did he attract it? Or could he see where the fish is, that which the disciples couldn't see? But he can see things we cannot see. Hallelujah. He can see where what we need is something that we cannot see, but he knows where it is. Hallelujah. And all we need to do is hear his voice correctly. That's what Life Solution is all about. We give you the solution to life through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whoa, wonderful. So they obeyed Jesus. They threw the net on the right side. And then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, you know, so humble of John. He never says, I'm the one who says it is the Lord. John says, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, he had taken it, and jumped into the water. I want you to picture with me. Here is the boat. It's about reaching shore. Peter couldn't wait for the boat to reach the shore. He said, it is the Lord. Covered himself. I'm not sure whether it is cold, but he covered himself and he jumped into the water that leap. Can you imagine? Picture him leaping, jumping off the boat, leaping off the boat, jump into the water, swam, wanted to be with Jesus. Who would do that? But that leap was a leap that would change his destiny. That leap was a leap that would turn him around and give him a second chance to continue to serve Jesus. So many lessons we can learn here. Number one, they were not successful. Listen to Jesus. The next slide, if you don't mind. Listen to Jesus, the miracle worker. They went back to what they were familiar with, fishing. But they were not successful because they have a higher calling than fishing. And all of us have a higher calling than what we are doing. Whether we are doctors or lawyers or even pastors for that matter, we have a higher calling than what we were doing. The higher calling is this. Is to follow Jesus first. Follow him first. Because at the end of the day, later on, when Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Jesus continues to tell Peter, follow me. The higher calling is to follow Jesus. Peter jumps into the water and then Jesus invites them for breakfast. Wow. They caught how many? They were very specific about this. And it's so interesting to find here that it was full of large fish, big money. Wow, large fish. 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. There was something so specific about what Jesus was trying to do, gave them exactly 153 fishes. But that 153 fishes, when Peter leapt into the water and went to Jesus, he exchanged that 153 large fishes for a larger catch of 3,000 souls in the book of Acts. Hallelujah. He went back, he was recommissioned. More than 153 fishes, more than all the money he can earn as a businessman, was 3,000 souls in the book of Acts, and how the church was established with a lot more value than cash for eternity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you agree with me that one soul is more valuable than all the millions of dollars in the world? Come on, somebody say amen. Hallelujah. He exchanged it because he leapt and he followed Jesus and decided to follow this higher calling. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's about following Jesus And it's not about Jesus following us. How many of us, you know, want to go where we want to go, do what we want to do, and then we say, Jesus, can you just come along with me? Bless me what I want to do, what, you know, instead of following Jesus and Jesus saying, you follow me, and I will take you to where the 153 fishes are. I will take you to where the 3,000 souls are. I will take you to where your destiny is supposed to be. You walk with me, and I will take you there where you are born for such a time as this, to be an influence, to be an impact to the world for my sake, for my glory, for my name, not for yourself. Jesus, you know, as long as we listen to his instruction, we will be able to bounce back from every kind of failure. Failure is not easy. Sometimes it's tough. You know, when I came to Australia after driving my car for, being a driver for, 40 years? I was 19. I got my license, and at 63, I have to retake my license again. And how many years is that? I can't even remember. I have to look through the driving manual instructions, you know, and go on to the computer tests, hazard tests, and I failed my hazard test. And one pastor laughed at me, not you, one pastor laughed at me. He said, Ronald, you don't play enough computer games, that's your problem. And when I failed that hazard test, you know, the lady at the counter looked at me and she said, it's not the end of the world. That's why I'm telling you now, it's not the end of the world. I took it a second time, went on to my driving test on the road, got through it. It's not the end of the world. So I can drive here now without Pastor Kelvin picking me up this morning. And it was the same with my wife. She passed the first test. She passed the computer test. I failed the computer test. She failed the road test the first time, passed the second time, and, you know, and we just went through it all over again. But failure is part of life, you know, and somebody, it was Henry Ford who said this, failure is simply the opportunity to begin again. But this time, do it more intelligently. And when we don't do it more intelligently, we do fail again. But do it more intelligently. And I find that's what's happening to Peter here. He's learning. He's learning. And, you know, failure teaches us to learn to be better in whatever we do and whatever we are thinking as a person, all right? So as long as we follow him, the miracles will follow. Remember when Jesus turned the water into wine. I mean, it's an impossible thing. It was the first miracle Jesus did, the wedding at Cana, and this couple had ran out of good wine for the people. And the mother, Mary, told the servants, just do what he tells you. Do what the master tells you. And they did. It may be out of their mind, you know, to believe that water can turn into wine, but they did what the master told them to do. And he turned the water into wine. And I'm learning this, my dear friend. It's a journey. It is a journey. We're learning to hear him as clearly, as accurately as possible. On a daily basis, don't miss that daily connection with God. And when you think about Peter, was he really hungry, you know, jumping off that boat and can't wait to have breakfast with Jesus? Was he really hungry physically? Or was he really hungry that he's missing that fellowship with Jesus? Was his soul more hungry, or was his physical appetite more hungry? I think it was his soul. He's been missing this fellowship with the Master. He's been missing that closeness with the Master, and he knows if he can just reconnect and restore this relationship with the Master, then the breakfast will come. Then your physical appetite will be fine. It was first and foremost a restoration of the soul and the spirit, that closeness with God. And then Jesus knows once that is restored, the other things are secondary. He will provide your physical need. There was breakfast. I mean, Jesus prepared that breakfast for them. There was the fire there and fish. Was it fish? Fish and bread. Fish and bread. Sounds like a fish. But bread is not chips. Fish or fillet. And he met their need. But first things first, that reconnection with Jesus. First things first, that spiritual connection. And then comes the breakfast. The physical need is met. The money will come. The fish will come. The business will grow. Your funds will come in. Whatever it is, the first things first. And then after that comes the emotional need, where Jesus clearly shows us that he still loves Peter. And there is a chance for Peter to continue to serve him. Hallelujah. And so it's okay if we fall flat on the ground from time to time, but God is with us and we will pick up by his grace and he will, you know, appear to us again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, love Jesus deeply. Take up the cross. And here comes then the conversation between Peter and Jesus. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, he waited until they finished eating. Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than this? Wow. If God were to ask us this morning, do you truly love me more than these? These. What was Jesus referring to? Could it be the fish? Could it be the fishing equipment? Could it be the boat? Could it be all the other disciples? Do you love me more than this? Do you love me more than your grandchildren? I couldn't help but look at the little girl this morning, and she was just worshiping here along with us as we were worshiping. She's so beautiful. And I'm reminded, do you love me more than these little ones close to our heart? Do you love me that more than what is closest to your heart? What is closest to our heart these days? Family, children, grandchildren, your new house, your new iPad, new car. What is it that is closest to our heart this morning? Our job, career, our title, our position, our ministry even for that matter. You know, do we really love God more than all these that he has already blessed us with? Who is on the throne of our heart? Who is the real idol of our life? Is it the Lord himself? Just a question. Just going through some questions this morning. Just asking ourselves. Just checking our heart so that we can answer like Peter, better than Peter if we can. All right? So what was Peter's answer? A few translations bring out the real meaning of the word here. Because when Jesus asked Peter, do you love? He asked Peter three times. Sometimes my wife will ask me, how come you don't say you love me anymore? I will say, I told you I love you on the wedding day. Isn't that enough? Told you already. You haven't changed your mind. I haven't changed my mind too. So I have to keep on telling, I love you, I love you. I love, and mean it, all right? And mean it. I love you. This is a play of Greek words. It's very interesting because initially when I first read this, it was like, was Jesus trying to test Peter because Peter denied Jesus three times, isn't it? Three times. I don't know him. How can Peter deny Jesus three times? I mean, this is the man who walked with you, who loved you, who showed you the way of the kingdom, you know, who fed you and told you about God and connection and so forth. And when the going gets tough, you deny him, you know, and the cock crowed three times just as Jesus knew it was going to happen. And when I look at Peter, don't be too quick to judge Peter. What would be our response when the going gets tough? You know, when we are really persecuted, when we see really if there is bloodshed, if, you know, if we have to suffer for the cross, are we able to come to a place where we can say, I'm ready to die for Jesus? We will all be tested, by the way. We will walk the journey with God and we will be tested. And there have been times in my life I've been tested and I have to ask myself the question, am I ready to die for Jesus? Am I ready to preach the gospel even if the authorities catch me and put me in prison and torture me? Am I ready to die for Jesus? And I know my own friends, my own pastor friends, some of them have really been thrown into prison, put under jail, you know, for days and went through isolation and asked myself, am I ready to do that? Will I die for the cross? Will I die for Jesus? And the church that suffers for the cross will be a strong church at the end of the day. What we go through now in Australia, I pray, will make us a strong church. Will make us a strong church. And Life Solution Church, and I really want to say this from my heart, because you are prayerful, because you understand the way of the Spirit, because you understand the principle of God's Word, because you're standing up for the values of God's Word. It is not how many are here. It just takes a small number that understand the workings of God and break through into the heavenlies and pray for this nation and live out the gospel for this nation. And before you know it, you will be a life-changing agent for this society. It is not how big you are, nor how many facilities you have. It is how you are able to tap into the power of God and break through into the heavenlies and live it out for Him. Hallelujah. Life Solution. You are called by God for such a time as this in Melbourne, in Australia. Hallelujah. Amen. Love Jesus deeply. Amen. When Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? He put it in this way. To love means is an agape love. I will reread this in a simple way. Simon, son of John, do you love me more deeply? Which is the word agapeo, all right? Do you love me more deeply than these others? That means you love Jesus like Jesus loves you with no condition. Do you love Jesus that way? Do you love me more than these others? And Peter answers, and he says, yes, I love you, but the word love he uses for Jesus is not the same love. He uses, yes, Lord, you know, I have a real affection for you, which is filio, brotherly love. I have a real affection for you. And then Jesus said, then feed my lambs. Still, Jesus understands the level of Peter's love. It's affection before unconditional love. Okay, I understand where you're coming from. Just affection. Second time, Jesus said, but Simon, do you really love me, agape, so that you would give yourself for me? Would you be willing to love me so that you give yourself for me? And Peter answers, yes, Lord, you know, I still have a real affection for you. He hasn't come to the point where I will die for you yet, but I have an affection for you. And then Jesus said, care for my sheep. Wow. And that is just speaking to me too, because so often, yeah, I'm doing God's work, caring for the sheep, feeding the sheep, and so forth. But what is my degree or level of love for Jesus? Is it like Peter here? Or is it more than that? And then finally, third time, Simon, are you sure? And this time, Jesus uses the word filio. He doesn't use the word agape anymore. He says, Simon, are you sure that you even have any affection for me? Even affection, are you sure you have any affection for me? Wow. And no wonder the Bible said here, Peter was really hurt. He was really hurt. Really hurt. Because Jesus understands and knows all that is inside our heart. And what was Peter's answer? Peter's answer was, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Yes, Peter did love Jesus, but he hasn't come to the point where it is really unconditional, where he will die, where he will give up everything the way Jesus loves him. And then Jesus said, feed my sheep. Wow. And then Jesus predicted Peter will die on a cross with his hands stretched out. And Jesus tells Peter, follow me. Follow me. This time, a second time. The first time was when he first gave up the fishing. Now the second time is he's making a recommitment again. A second time, a recommissioning, a relaunching. Have you ever been to a recommissioning service? I've been. Never heard of a recommissioning service? I went to a recommissioning service. The pastor fell. It was an immoral problem. I can share this with you. You know by now we are not perfect. We're just called by God to preach the word and to live a life purely by the grace of God. So here was this pastor. He was disciplined and for 3 years didn't preach, didn't stand behind the pulpit for 3 years. 3 long years. Brilliant guy, intelligent. I wouldn't even tell you his name or his profession. Brilliant guy. And there I was, after 3 years, I stood there as one of the people that prayed for him. But at the recommissioning service, you know, the church walked with him, walked through with his issue, relaunched him, recommissioned him. He was willing to be disciplined. And at that recommissioning service, I saw how a church that understood the grace of God, and the man was humble. He repented. He was willing to serve God again in the ministry. And that was such a beautiful picture. Not, you don't see this often, because every time somebody fails, whether you're a pastor or even a local church member, there's no more chance for you. You don't come back anymore. You know, we don't know how to walk with you. And we tend to judge you too soon and so forth. I'm just sharing this with you so that we all know that as God's people, we are walking with each other, helping the one on the left, helping the one on the right. And as long as there is that attitude where I really repent, I really want to make it back, there is a place for everyone in the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so it was a wonderful thing. And so when we look at what's happened here, you know, there's so many things I can think of that we can learn with regards to loving Jesus deeply. Where are we now at this juncture? Do we love him deeply with all that we are doing, all the sacrifices that we make? Sometimes the more we sacrifice, the more sometimes we expect it to come back to us. But sometimes there are no rewards that you get immediately. You don't get rewards immediately. I do so much for God. Why isn't he providing for this? I do so much for the church. Why isn't the church doing this for me? It's coming back to you all the time. Is that agape love? Is that unconditional love? I remembered very many years ago, I was a young pastor. At the same time, I was asked to be in charge of one particular division in the country. 32 churches altogether. There was no committee yet. There's a one-man show trying to take care of my own church, trying to take care of my own family, and whole division in the north, 32 churches. I would run all over the place. At the end of the day, I was given the title of a crisis manager. Every time there is a crisis. Until when the Bible school had crisis, they still called me. And I remembered it was late one evening. I was in a church, small church, way up in the hill, driving back at night at about 8 o'clock in the evening, all alone by myself, driving through the hills. And tears started rolling down. And I asked myself, what am I doing here? There are no thank yous. There are no, thank yous at all. No financial gain, nothing. Just to help a pastor through the crisis with his church members. Tears were rolling down, and I said, what am I doing this? And I began to pray, Lord, please watch over my family, my children. I'm doing this because when I was young, the Lord spoke to me, give me the best of your youthful strength. So I responded to that. And I'm learning through all these many years, there's nothing that matters more in life than to be obedient to what God is wanting me to do. And we don't compare with anybody else, their success or their failures. We don't compare. We just listen and we do. And I said, Lord, I wish at this point I could be with my family. My children are growing up. They need me. But here am I running around trying to take care of your church. And then I came to this realization and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. God said, it is my church. God said, it is my church. And then I realized it is God's church. God's church is imperfect, but it is God's church. He died for the church. He gave his blood for the church. It is God's church. And then I said, Lord, okay, I'm doing this. No other reason I can think of. I'm doing this because I love you. More than anything else, because I love you, full stop. Don't say, I'm doing this, Lord, therefore you must do this back for me. I'm doing this, Lord, therefore I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. I struggle quite often with what I call the prosperity gospel. I struggle with it. I struggle because quite often we are asking God for something back for ourselves. But if you really understand John chapter 21 here, it's agape love in return to God. It's unconditional. I love him and I serve him with no expectation in return. If he gives it to me in other ways, blessings, thank you, Lord. I don't deserve it, but I thank you. It's not, wow, God's blessings on me. I want some more. I want some more. I want some more. It will come, but we don't go looking for it. We go looking for the Master himself. We are hungry for Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, that is our main motivation. It's just him and him alone, all right? I've got to quickly go on. And at the end of the day, look at what's happening here, the last section here. In verse 20 to 23, Peter hasn't come to the point yet where he really understands God's dealing with individuals. And so in verse 20, Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back. And so when Peter saw him in verse 21, he asked, Lord, what about him? Wow, Peter here is like, okay, you're telling me that I'm going to die for you, in verse 19, all right? And church history did show us that Peter died a martyr. He was crucified upside down and near the beach there, and the water came in and it was a drown, all right? And all the 12 disciples were actually martyred, except all were martyred, but John survived and exiled on the island of Patmos to write the book of Revelation. So following Jesus, and then Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Again, Jesus said, you must follow me. All right? Well, Peter was distracted as usual. Here is Jesus giving him the instruction. You follow me. You're going to die this kind of death. And Peter turns around. He sees John. And he turned and said, Lord, what about him? Always saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. You know. And he said, if I want him to remain alive, what is that to you? You must follow me. And the lesson here is that don't be distracted by what others are doing. They have their own cross to carry. My cross and your cross are different. We must learn to appreciate the crosses that we have. It's different weight. You want to carry Pastor Kelvin's cross? It's very heavy, by the way. So if you want to carry his cross, you must also be willing to carry his suffering. If you want to carry my cross, it's a completely different cross altogether. You also must carry my suffering. Now, so nowadays, before I talk about another person, I try not to, because I don't know what are the crosses they are carrying. I don't know what are the sufferings they go through. I don't know the struggles of what they are going through. So I hold back any judgment that I have, because my Christian brother and sister have got their own crosses to carry. All right? So here Jesus said, don't worry about John. To put it in simple terms and a very straightforward term, you may not like this. It simply means, mind your own business. I'm trying to say it as gently as I can, but this is basically, just as gently as I can. Like my grandson was trying to scold a little baby. Stop it, cutie, you know, cutie. Got angry with the sister. But just, there's a lesson we learn here, that we mature through this passage, that we are all learning to follow Jesus. Whether first time, second time, or third time, we can all make a comeback. And this time, when we follow him more intelligently. Make less mistakes. Don't make so many failures in life, all right? And so I'm always thankful to the many people that have come alongside me through the years. When I was a young Bible school president, I really didn't have too many years of experience. Went in there, just do what I can. But now when I look back, wow, the Christian businessmen that came in and stood with me and understood my lack of experience, came alongside with no expectation. Ronald, we'll come and help you. We'll set up this fund. You know, we'll walk alongside with you. And the church and the school board that empowered me and understood how heavy the responsibility was, and churches and pastors who prayed for me and continue to walk alongside me, even until now, after so many years. Well, we can choose to criticize somebody who's not doing a perfect job, or we can choose to come alongside and to help construct the ministry that God has given. We can choose. And you know, Life Solution, I'm so glad you are here in Australia. We are here not by chance. We're here in God's timing, and there is a place for everyone in this church to keep following Jesus. Remember, your first call is not your vocation. Your first call is a call to follow Jesus. Whether you're a doctor, an accountant, or whatever, your first call is a call to follow Jesus. And take that call into your vocation, and you will find God blessing you. All right? So we are here for one another. To close with one last illustration, story of the Paralympics. How these 10 participants were running the 100 meters in their own disabled manner, special way. Running. Halfway through, one of the participants fell to the ground. And the rest, instead of running to get the prize, Paralympics, they stopped. They stopped, picked that person up, and they link all the elbows together, arms. Link all the arms together. And it's recorded for the first time in the history of the Paralympics. They didn't know who to give the prize to because they all finished together. There's no competition in the kingdom of God. We all want to see each other rise up. If somebody falls, pick them up. Sometimes when you fall, someone will pick you up. And that's what we are as a church. We are a people with an identity. We belong to Christ. We are a people of unity. We come together. And we are a people with a destiny. We are moving forward in God and into the future with hope. Hallelujah. Would you rise up, stand up with me this morning?